It's a good day. God has blessed us, and we are blessed as His people. Do any of you have books at your house? Pamphlets, literature, get mail? Any of you saving letters from somebody from long ago? Yep. You know, many people are like Sally and me. We have a large variety of written materials at our house. Sally has her cookbooks, her ladies' magazines, her puzzles, her biographies, and all that kind of stuff. Well, I've got my construction books, my livestock books, appliance manuals, books on dad jokes. Some would say bad jokes. I thought they were good. Anyway, pig jokes and all that other kind of stuff that I save. And, you know, people have written billions of books and pamphlets and letters. I don't think we could ever put a number on all of it, could we? Even if in this room it'd take us a while to figure out how many different books and collections we all have of all the different types of writings. Some of them are noted as masterpieces. None of mine are, but you know, they talk about the masterpieces of Shakespeare and different writers. Many documents have claimed to have wisdom and knowledge that everybody needs to tune their life to, that they have the truth. But there's only one book that has proven itself to be the real guidepost of truth with all the inspiration and guidance from God Almighty. Amen? It's your Bible. And so we need to look at that and learn from it as much as we can. God is the Lord and Creator of all things, and He has given us His Word. Over the next few weeks, I plan to preach several different messages on fundamental teachings about the Bible. And the first is about the Bible itself. Today we're going to be looking at the Bible. Now my role as a minister of the gospel is to try to present the message of God to the people who listen to me, people like you, in an understandable way so that you can understand it and comprehend it and then apply it to your life. But before you or anybody else accepts these words, you must first believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that it is the message of God. Do you believe that your Bible is God's message and that you need to apply your life by its standards? If the Bible came from the perfect God, then it must show itself to be perfect in its message, without flaw, without contradiction. So we're going to look at some of the evidence as to why we can believe the Bible is God's Word, because most of the world rejects the Bible. They don't follow the Bible. Are they right? Is the majority right? Or are we right? Some claim it is full of lies and deceit. In the fall of 2000, how many of you remember Peter Jennings, famous television broadcaster? He's a famous news journalist. He did a TV commentary titled The Search for Jesus. In his entire thrust, in my opinion, it was to discredit the Bible and to take away the faith and trust in the message of the Bible. He did not support the idea that Jesus is the Messiah, that the Bible is the Word of God. He did everything in what I saw to put doubt and fear in people's minds. One of the fastest growing religions in the world today, begun in the 1800s, is called Mormonism, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is Joseph Smith, Jr., and this is what he wrote. I believe the Bible as it read when it came from the pen of the original writers. Ignorant translators, careless transcribers, or designing and corrupt priests have committed many errors. And if you listen to the leaders of the Mormon Church today, along with several other groups, they continue to assault the Bible, telling us it is not really the Word of God. It's got problems with it, so you need to listen to what we tell you, to what we write as the truth. I don't know about you, but that kind of gets my blood boiling. But we start looking around the world. The teachings of Buddha, Muhammad, Stalin, and many others are promoted as true and the only directions that people are to follow. Are they? I don't think so. And as a matter of fact, the founders of our nation didn't think so. When the first European settlers established the colonies here in this continent of North America, the Bible was the first textbook in the classroom. And the focus of all the classroom teachings for three centuries was around what your Bible says. Were our founders wrong? I don't think so. And yet today, some schools won't even allow a Bible to be in the library. They say it's false information. It's full of scandalous ideas. It's full of lies. It's mystery. What is the word on the Bible? Is it truth or fiction? Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father and Lord God, we thank you that you have given us your word. And I thank you that you have allowed us the ability to study it, to examine it, and that there are thousands of people who are still examining it to make sure that it is true. And I thank you that we have been made aware of your Bible, your word, and most importantly, the message of Jesus Christ, Savior for all humanity. Father, help us to grow in our understanding of the Scriptures and to be blessed by this book that you have specially given to us to share with all humanity. Help us to grow in understanding and confidence in our Bibles. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one verse as our text today. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica and some 2,000 years ago. And this is a statement that he makes that I still believe is applicable for us. He says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." The word of God. The very words that the Apostle Paul and others were giving were the message of God, according to the Apostle Paul. Our first point is, the Bible claims to be the word of Almighty God. A thorough study of the entire Bible reveals numerous claims to be a special message from God to humanity. People of different periods of time, God used different individuals to take his message to those people. Paul praised the Thessalonian church for accepting his words as the message of God, as God-inspired words through human tongue. Now, God personally wrote messages to mankind with his own finger on several occasions. If you remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, did Moses chisel out those words? No, God wrote them with his finger, twice. There was another occasion we read where God wrote on a wall, the book of Daniel, as God was condemning Belshazzar for his abuse of the temple articles. We have God writing on the wall. A hand appeared and wrote on the wall, "Many, many tekel upharsin." Your kingdom has been judged, and you have been found lacking. And that very night, God ended that kingdom. God personally directed various people to record his laws and words. Of course, probably the first one most people think about it is Moses. Moses received the law. And Moses was up on the Mount Sinai for long periods of time on two or three different occasions. And during that time period, he was guided by God to write down the Mosaic law, what we have in the Old Testament, in the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy. Of course, Moses also wrote the beginning record, the book of Genesis. And scholars are pretty sure, confident, that Moses probably used other documents to put together all of the lineage and the history, because Moses wasn't the first person on the earth, was he? It started with Adam and Eve. How did Moses get all of that information? It was either by inspiration of God or form records that had been kept, or a combination of the two. So God guided not only Moses, but many people to write down his specific words to live by and to correct people, and of course to record the history of God's interaction with different groups. Of course, the Bible doesn't give the history of all humanity, but it gives us the basic outline of how we understand the plight of humanity and God's plan to save us. All of the true prophets spoke the messages given to them by God. One of the requirements of the Old Testament, if a person claimed to be a prophet and gave a false prophecy, they were to be stoned to death. So this was serious business. If you're going to give God's word, you better make sure it was truly God's word. They took that very serious, to be claiming to be a servant of God and to give his word was very, very serious. The Bible is God-breathed, as stated by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, training in righteousness, that you may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So God wants us to know what is right and how to live properly, as stated by the Apostle Paul, not just Paul, but many other places as well. God warns people to not change his message. People are warned to not add to or to remove any portion of God's message, which he gave. That warning was given through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4. We also have it by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1. Paul says, even if I come along and change the message I gave to you, let me be accursed. Because nobody changes God's word. His word stands forever. God's word does not change. And then, of course, in Revelation, we have the warning of Jesus at the final chapters. God condemns those who change his message, and they will suffer God's wrath. Peter claimed he was an eyewitness to God in human flesh. Who was that person? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word of God who put on human flesh. The words of Jesus were God's words. His miracles were God working through his hand, God's divine touch. Luke was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, and he was a later convert. He examined all of the information, and he recorded for us his record of what he found out in becoming a believer, giving to us two books, the book of Luke and then the book of Acts. And they are very, very detailed in proving that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. J. Vernon Jacobs wrote a book titled What We Believe. It's produced by Standard Publishing, one of our producers of Christian literature. He states this: the Bible has stood the test of the centuries. It has been attacked and ignored, scorned and ridiculed, forbidden and burned, but it is still in the world, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen? We need to continue to promote the Bible, God's Word, to those around us. In spite of all the efforts to destroy it, it has continued to maintain. It's been, for many years, the leading selling book. Unfortunately, we need to get it out there more so that more people can come to salvation. Many people just buy it and put it on their shelf. I hope you're not one of those. The second major point I want to deal with is, here are some facts about the Bible, and you probably have these memorized and thought of. The Bible is actually a collection of 66 different books, letters, collections, history, and so on, that have been passed on to us. They have passed several critical tests, scrutinizing their authenticity as being from God. The Old Testament is a collection of how many books? 39. Those of you who weren't sure about that. 39 different books dealing with history, law, poetry, prophecy, from the beginning of creation and down through about 430 B.C. And then God went into a period of silence. Now, there are different groups who use a collection of books written in that silent period. They believe it's Scripture, but those books were not accepted for the first 1,000 years of the Christian movement, in spite of that collection and that recognition today. The New Testament is a collection of 27 books regarding the coming of the promised Messiah, how Jesus Christ lived his life, his teachings, explanations of his teachings, some of the history of the early church, as well as prophecies regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He has promised to return not just as a servant, but as what? King and judge. And we need to be ready for that if we're going to believe the Bible. God used around 40 different men living on 3 different continents over a period of about 1,500 years to complete this book. The last of the writings was by the Apostle John around 95 AD. Even with the numerous individuals, the Bible has one united message. There are no contradictions. Some of these writers were writing at the same time, not able to communicate with each other, and yet their message is still one united message because it comes from one source, the inspiration of Almighty God. The last point there in that section is the Bible books are arranged in categories. This confuses a lot of people as you're reading through the Bible. You say, I think I read that already. Well, if you're in the Old Testament, you are in the section of the history. There are several repetitions of the history. The Bible is written in categories and generally are not arranged in the chronological order. Several books repeat information of other books only from a different perspective. But again, there are no contradictions in the Bible. Basically, what you have is, if there's a difference, it's usually an addition of more information from a different perspective. Point number 3, people of the past did not change the message of the Bible. People of the past did not change it in spite of what Joseph Smith and others say about your Bible. Scholars have meticulously studied tens of thousands of copies and parts of the Scripture looking for new information. And it's kind of interesting to hear a scholar who finds a new discovery. He'll come back and says, no change. Oh, I didn't find anything new. Well, that for us, that's good news. That's authenticity that God's Word is true and has not been changed through the centuries. Jewish scribes followed extremely strict rules when copying the Old Testament scriptures to make exact duplicates by hand. And because of time, I'm not going to go through all of it, but they were exact. If any copy they made had more than three mistakes on it, they burned it. They got rid of it because it was not true any longer. So they were very meticulous about it. The discovery in 1947 of the Dead Sea Scrolls showed no change in the Old Testament for a period of 1,000 years. No change from the most ancient documents to the most modern documents. And the collection of the Dead Sea Scrolls took us back to 250 B.C., 250 years before Jesus was even born. I got my pet frog with me today. Sorry about that. New Testament copyists treated their work with the highest respect as well as the Old Testament scholars, knowing that they were accountable to God for His truth. There are four full, complete New Testament manuscripts that have been preserved dating back to as early as 325 A.D. If you start thinking about that, from the life of John, the Apostle John died around 95 A.D. And so you're looking at within 230 years, we have documents dating that close to the originals. Some pieces of the New Testament, little tiny fragments, have been dated to with 125 years of the original. And they still have the same message as what your Bible says today. Ancient texts are found in multiple languages with no change of message. Looking at this, there are over 24,000 full and partial pieces of your New Testament. No change. You can trust your Bible. Today, there are many Bible translations. Some are better than others. Some are worse than others. Study notes, your commentaries in Bibles, you need to remember those commentaries and notes are written by people. They're the people's thoughts. And you need to keep that in mind as you're reading your study Bibles and you read those notes. Remember, those are the thoughts of those individuals. They are not God's authentic word. They may lead you in the right track. They could also lead you in the wrong track because they are written by man. They are not the inspired words of God. So be careful as you're studying. Look at several different translations. Look at several different commentators and center on the Word of God. That's where the changes are being made. That's where Joseph Smith took parts of the Bible and said, yeah, I'll put this in my documents. But he did not copy all of the God's Word. He only picked and chose what he thought he wanted. Point number four. Archaeology verifies the information of your Bible. Archaeologists are those who go out and dig up old stuff, decayed stuff, lost stuff. Critics of the Bible claim that it gives wrong information about people's places, but through the dedicated work of the archaeologists, the labors of many over a couple hundred years, they have uncovered buried civilizations and locations to discover truth from your Bible. It matches. Archaeologists continue to uncover ancient cultures, and those that are related to the Bible continue to verify dates, places, times of the biblical record. You can trust science proves your Bible. Fulfilled prophecies of the Bible continue to verify its divine origins. God warned Noah to prepare for a worldwide flood. He obeyed God, saving his family and a representation of the animals to replenish the earth. Every ancient culture has a similar story to Noah's flood. You don't hear that in the history classes at school, do you? Nope, that's a secret. Well, it's the truth. Every ancient culture tells of a worldwide flood with one family, usually eight people, saving themselves on a boat of some kind along with a bunch of animals. Interesting. Every ancient culture has a similar story of Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. What do we have? Almost in our backyard, we've got the Grand Canyon. Do you think that was made by the river? Christian scientists believe they can show that the Grand Canyon wasn't made by that river over millions of years. It was made by the worldwide flood in Noah's day. Of course, we can't prove it because how many of us can wind time back and redo it? If we did that, we'd be lost in the flood. Anyway, moving on. God promised Abraham that his descendants would rule over the land of Canaan after 400 years of slavery in Egypt under bondage. What happened? They lived in Egypt 400 years, became slaves, and God delivered them and gave them the land of Canaan. Done. Another prophecy is that God revealed to Daniel the reign of four earthly empires. The one he was captured in, the Babylonian, followed by the Medes and the Persians, followed by the Greeks, followed by the Roman Empire. And in that prophecy of those four world empires, he said that there will be an eternal kingdom come. What? What's that? Jesus Christ and the church. Us. How did God know that? Because God knows all things. And he wrote it down through people so that we would know and trust God is God. Hundreds of prophecies foretold the coming of the Savior for Jesus, for all people. Jesus Christ came just as God foretold. He fulfilled all of the prophecies. Hundreds of prophecies, exactly as they said, not according to the human interpretation, but by God's divine inspiration. And of course, what did Jesus come to do? He came to become the Redeemer, the one who would pay for all sin of all humanity. More prophecies about Jesus tell that he is returning not to be the suffering servant, but to be the judge. He hasn't come back yet, but the Scripture warns us, when he comes back, that will be the end. The world, you know, our people talk about global warming and all this. The Bible talks about global warming, but it's not going to be what they talk about right now. It's going to be one final poof, and there won't be a second chance. Are we ready? The world tells us we need to put our trust and faith in all the other ancient knowledge that we have gathered. Let me give you a little information real quickly. We are told that Homer wrote the Iliad, and that record is based on 643 manuscripts that are filled with discrepancies. No story is the same. 643 different documents talk about Homer writing the Iliad. The oldest copy found of the Iliad was written 500 years after Homer died. 500 years. The life of Caesar is based upon 10 copies dating 1,000 years after his death. Was Caesar real? It's based on 1,000-year-old documents. The writings of Plato are based upon 7 copies dating 1,200 years after he died. Was Plato real? The world says he was. Roman history is based upon a handful of incomplete manuscripts from a few historians that lived in that time period. Is it real? The historians tell us it's real. Then why don't we accept the Bible? The New Testament itself is verified by over 24,000 complete and partial copies, some dating within 125 years of the original text. Many texts and fragments of the Old Testament are also in hand, but the greatest discovery, of course, I mentioned earlier, the Dead Sea Scrolls, pushing the date back to 100 to 200 BC with no change. Your Bible is reliable. These are just a few of the evidences. The Word of God abides forever. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And all people will be judged by the Word of God. Are we ready? Are you ready? Trust your Bible. Read it. Study it, learn from it, because it has the words of life in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for giving us the Bible, for being patient with humanity through the ages. You knew how many times we would disobey you, how frequently we would turn our backs on you, and yet you continued to reveal your word prophecy by prophecy, history, the poetry, all that you wrote through your people to show us that you are God and that you love us. Thank you for Jesus who came in fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah. And we thank you that he's coming again. Help us to be ready, serving you faithfully, living in your righteousness. Guide us in your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.